Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome back, folks. On the text line, wow, she is a breath of fresh air talking about Mayor-elect Helena Moreno. And we're joined now by Becky Mowbray, President and CEO of BGR, the Bureau of Governmental Research. Becky, welcome to the show, and thank you for accommodating us and allowing the mayor to jump into your slot. We really appreciate it.
Of course, there's nothing more important than the city's finances right now. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, so let's talk about that first before we talk about the ballot issues. I really like the approach of the mayor coming out and saying, look, we deferred because we don't have all the I's dotted, the T's crossed. It's a technical thing, but we want to put everybody's, you know, at ease and at rest. That's been talked about a lot. Your thoughts?
I think she's right. It's very important to get this right. And if we take a moment to, make sure those T's are crossed and I's are dotted, it's a good thing. Public trust right now has been very low. It's really shaken public confidence that we've ended up in this situation with the $160 million budget hole. And if they are taking a moment to make sure that we're doing it right, that's a very good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. You probably have been watching the construct of this deal that was worked out with the bond commission and the legislative auditor. I happen to think it's a good approach. I'm glad all the adults got in the room and were able to craft something and come out with, I think, something meaningful. Your thoughts?
Mm-hmm. I think so too, that it seems like they've come up with a good structure for a deal, that the new incoming administration, retains control, but having the legislative auditor having to sign off on expenditures from this emergency bond proceeds and having the resources of the LLA to be looking at things, scrutinizing things. I mean, as Mayor-elect Moreno just said in her comments, like, she's got a lot that she's trying to get her arms around right now. And we really need to understand, the sources more deeply, the sources of this problem, and to figure out how to come up with it. And so having the capabilities of the legislative auditor in the mix seems like a really good thing.
You know, it'd be a lot easier if it was just one big thing, right? And there might be some things that are larger than others, but I think it's going to be a collection of a lot of, small to medium size issues that are presented as they get through this process.
Agree. I mean, we didn't get here overnight. We at BGR have been concerned about the spending out of, general fund balance without a policy to guide that. And, the outcome, I mean, we'd been hoping to preserve money in case we ever needed it for an emergency. Now we're, going to be using, basically all of the money that we've got, in reserve to keep the city, being able to pay people and keeping city services running. That is fairly depressing. And, you know, some of the things that have come out about police overtime, I mean, that came to light in February. And if you took a close look at it, it should have been fairly obvious that an inadequate amount of overtime had been budgeted. And then for whatever reason, you know, they didn't attempt to solve this problem back in February, the second month of the fiscal year. And it's pretty hard to do something about it in month 11. So I think this is, you know, an important opportunity to take a look at how the city accomplishes its budgeting. How is the information about expenditures being used to adjust the budget to make sure that we as a city are living within our means, and also to make sure that we are spending on the things that are essential and that are public priorities, and not spending money on anything that we don't need to be.
Yeah. Let's pivot this Saturday. Big vote, quite frankly, on a number of bond propositions. BGR, as always, has generated a very in-depth, even down to a granular level, report on these ballot issues. Let's try and make our way through that, some of the most important ones first, if you don't mind.
Sure. There are three ballot propositions for voters in Orleans Parish this Saturday, asking the public to approve the issuance of up to $510 million in bonds. It's actually three separate proposals that are pretty well targeted in the order that they go on the ballot. Number one is a proposed $45 million for housing affordability issues. The second proposal is $415 million for city infrastructure, things like streets, buildings, parks, and equipment. And then the third one is $50 million for drainage.
So let's go. Let's talk about the first one, affordable housing. BGR's come out against this particular initiative. Let's talk about why.
Sure. There had been a lot of there was a lack of clarity throughout the fall on how they were going to use this money. Last year at this time, voters approved a change to the city charter that said that each year in the city budget, the city has to set aside the equivalent of 2% of the city's general fund to use for housing affordability issues. Affordable housing, of course, is a major issue facing the city. And there had been a question about how they were going to use this bond money. In recent weeks, as there's been more information about the, you know, city's budget hole and whatnot coming out, it's been said that they would use the money from the bond proceeds to pay for this required annual dedication. And we have several concerns about that. One is that when voters put this in the charter, it became, you know, a non-negotiable thing that you've got to pay for every year. It's now a required recurring expense. And what they're proposing doing is taking, you know, one-time money with the bond, with a bond sale, and using that for recurring revenues. That's not a smart way to go about, you know, about paying for a recurring expense. It's also a short-term solution. If voters approve $45 million in bonds, next year the required housing trust fund, infusion is estimated to be about $14.5 million. So that means you really only get about 3 years out of it, and then you got to come up with a solution. We believe that the city needs to come up with a sustainable solution to pay for this. You know, when they went to voters with this last year, The assumption was that they were going to be able to afford it, and the city's going to need to make some, you know, choices about priorities in order to be able to spend this and to afford this. And then finally, it's an expensive solution, because if you pay for something that's, you know, over the 30-year life of the bonds, the costs end up going up about 40%. So the annual dedication of, you know, what in 2026 will be $14.5 million would end up costing $24.1 million when everything is done. And that's one thing if you're talking about, you know, a building or a piece of infrastructure that's going to be here for a long time. It's another if you're talking about that as a recurring expense. So we had we just had a lot of concerns about it and don't think it's the right way to go. Interestingly, there's also a leading housing advocacy group that also came out against it because they didn't like the way it was going to be working as well.
You know, this is the proverbial, if I knew then what I know now, this probably would not have passed, right? I mean, we would have come to the recognition that we can't afford to give up 2% of the general fund. And where we find ourselves today, this likelihood of this even being passed, or I guess, is it mandatory that they fund it to that level? There's no discretion
on the 2%? There is a small thing that if they declare a financial emergency...
Well, that's a no-brainer.
No one has talked about that so far. But we initially were... I don't have at my fingertips like all the details on what would enable them to do so, like what the criteria are and all that. But you know, when this came before voters in November of 2024, we at BGR were against it because we felt like there was not enough financial flexibility in it. And again, we recognize that housing is a major issue facing the city. And, you know, the city's done some good work in planning for this and things like that. But we looked at a bunch of other cities that have housing trust funds, and nobody else does it like this. And there's more financial flexibility in other cities, you know, methods of approaching this. And yeah, we never imagined that, you know, a year later, like the first year of funding this thing, you'd end up in this financial crisis that would make it really difficult.
Yeah. Let's talk about the second ballot initiative, drainage and stormwater management, in the amount of $50 million.
Sure. So we found in favor of that one. As everybody knows, drainage is a major issue facing the city. For this proposal, there is, and also for the largest, the infrastructure proposal, there is actually a list of projects for it that, you know, would give voters a good sense of accountability, that there is a pre-approved list. And again, just like with the main one for the infrastructure, if the city wanted to go back and make any changes on it, they would have to come before the council. And so the public would have an opportunity to weigh in. And yeah, drainage is very much needed in the city. And this is, you know, an appropriate way to pay for it and all that. So we felt like the stormwater one was worthy of a yes vote.
All right. Let us get to a break. When we come back, we'll talk about the city infrastructure bond proposition. When we return, we're visiting with Becky Mowbray, president and CEO of BGR, the Bureau of Governmental Research. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller. the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome back, folks. We are visiting with Becky Mowbray, President and CEO of BGR, the Bureau of Governmental Research. They have issued a report on a number of bond propositions that are on Saturday's ballot, November 15th, which is Election Day, and we encourage you to get out and vote. And Becky, now the largest one, $415 million bond proposal for city infrastructure.
Yes. So we came out in favor of this one as well because there is good accountability built in. There is a list that the city has published of 128 projects that would be funded by this. Again, if there were any changes that they wanted to make, after if this is approved by voters, it would need to come before the council. So there's good accountability in it. These are all priority sorts of things that, citizens have really wanted to see move forward. And there are projects in every district of the city. We did have a couple of recommendations, however, with this one. And we recommend that the city create a public-facing dashboard with this list of projects and that they also swing in cost information on them and the status of the projects so that voters can more easily track what happens to the money. We also have been calling for the city at the same time, if voters approve this, to really start doing a better job of allocating money for maintaining public assets, whether they are things like streets or buildings, because, if voters approve this, they'll be paying for these bonds for the next 30 years. And if the city isn't paying to maintain things along the way, then we're not going to get the full useful life out of all of the things on that project list. And, if you let things slip enough in maintenance, which they should be paying out of the regular, general fund budget, they start to all of a sudden, if you let things degrade enough, then they become capital projects. So, we think it is appropriate for the city to start making a difference on that. At the same time, we did feel like all of this work that's on the list are things that are very much needed. And so we came out as a yes on that one.
Yeah, what I like about this project is obviously for who knows how many years, we really haven't been funding CapEx, right? We haven't reinvested mm-hmm. into our own long-term assets. This is an opportunity to catch up. I don't know that it gets us everywhere that we need to be, but without it, we would probably never catch up, right?
Yes, and one of the things that I think city officials have been trying to send the word about is that voters are hearing, or residents are hearing lots of scary headlines right now about city finances and things, but these bonds are, it's a separate thing, and it's about investing in infrastructure for the future. Fixing a lot of things that citizens feel like need to be fixed, and it enables the city to move forward on those.
And there's a dedicated revenue source just for this that the city historically taps into periodically when they pay these bonds down and then they reestablish the bonds. So there's no new taxes.
It's not a new tax. Citizens do, if you vote yes on these things, you are implicitly agreeing to pay a debt tax that funds these things. That debt tax has been going down in recent years because, we've been paying off like the previous bond issues. And so public officials were very careful to structure this so that there's no increase in the amount of money that you'd be paying on this debt tax. It's 14.5 mils, and it would continue as is.
Absolutely. And we always thank you for the incredible job that y'all do in pulling all of this data together and assembling these reports and making them available to the public. Always well done. Thank you so much for joining us. Becky Mowbray,
thank
President
you.
And CEO of BGR. Have a great week.
Thanks. You too.
All righty. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.